The God we serve is faithful. He's not slow concerning his promises. God is always on time. The thing is that his timing and ours sometimes don't seem to coincide. And that's the irony of life. The passage Mama led us to read a moment ago talks about how God waits and looks like he's not responding. But then it says, when he responds, it's quick. At the very beginning, when man failed, God made a promise. Said the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, of the deceiver. It looked like nothing was happening. God sent prophets, one after the other. Nothing was happening. He himself said, the way you get to know that a prophet is for real is that what he says comes to pass. And his prophets were prophesying, and it didn't look like anything was happening. I wonder how many times you've heard a prophetic word, a promise. You've been excited about something deep within your spirit, about something God is about to do or is doing, and where is it? But the reality is, if we faint not, we get to experience the promise. The challenge of life is that when God says something, there's always some kind of a pushback. And sometimes God is in the pushback. It was God who said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He says, but I'm going to harden his heart. I raised him up to prove my power because of this man. I want to break him down and break this stronghold down. I'm going to get rid of all of the gods of the Egyptians. When the whole situation started, the first plague, it hit Israel or Goshen and Egypt. Second one hit both sides. Third one hit both sides. Then God said, now I'm going to release flies. He says, but now, I want you to hear this. Now that the flies are going to permeate everywhere, I am going to separate Goshen, where my people are, from Egypt. Because the fly, Beelzebub, cannot have reign over my people. Amen. There are things that have come against the world that has affected you. It didn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. It affected everybody. But God is coming and he's drawing a line. Amen. Hallelujah. He's drawing a line. From now on, what happens to them doesn't happen to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. It's a separation. Somebody say, separate me, Lord, from the world system. My money must not be dependent on what the economy is. My health must not be dependent on what is happening in society. Nothing about me needs to line up with the world system. There's got to be a separation. When they are in darkness, I am going to be in the light. Hallelujah. When they have boils, I am going to be walking in divine health. When their cows are dying, I am going to have my cows healthy and whole. In fact, the Bible says Pharaoh went and checked to see what was happening over there, and their cows were okay, and his cows were all dead. What's going on here? What is this difference? The difference is in the fact that God has decided that enough is enough. Hallelujah. So I say, enough is enough. At the fullness of time, Israel did not possess Canaan until the sin of the Canaanites abundantly overflowed. And God says, now you can take it. The thing is, I need to be patient to line up with God and His will. Hail came down, and there was no hail in Goshen. Darkness came down, no darkness in Goshen. The firstborn of the Egyptians died, but the firstborn of the Jews stayed. Was it automatic? No. It was in their obedience. Their obedience in recognizing that a lamb was to be slain, and the blood of that lamb was going to be on the doorpost, so that when the destroyer came, it will not come into the house of the Israelites. The reality is, if there was an Israelite who decided that they were not going to obey the word of God that said, put the blood, their firstborn will die. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3 and verse 16. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, it's good to read that verse, but consider the next verse. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And that gives us a hint to the next verse. If God sent not His Son to condemn the world, then He's saying that if the world does not accept this Son, there will be condemnation. So this 18th verse says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What does this believe in God mean? When we talk about believing God, is it just a mental assent? Or is it about a walk of obedience? If you love God and if you believe God, you will obey. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But let's flip back to Pharaoh. Moses said to Pharaoh, God says, let my people go so that they can go worship me. Let them go so they can go worship. And the first thing that Pharaoh did was said, so you want to go and go worship. You guys must have too much time on your hands. You have too much time on your hands. That's why you're thinking about going somewhere to go worship. You must not be working hard enough. At this time, the Egyptians will give straw to the Israelites who were building, making the bricks. So he said to the taskmasters, don't give them any straw, but they have to do what they got to do. The regiment remains the same, but they have no assistance. And so here, the Israelites are going and trying to get stubble and stuff, you know, to make their daily assignment, and they were not catching up, and they go and they complain to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, you coming here to complain? No. You're going to keep to what I said. And here comes the Israelites out of Pharaoh's palace. And they see Moses and Aaron and said, you guy who caused us all this trouble, you came here to tell us that God told you, let my people go. And because you said that, look at the problems we now have. The prophetic word had now created a frustrating situation for the people of God. Are they going to accept the direction of God, the will of God, or are they going to resist it? And for the first few experiences, they did not believe Moses anymore. But God kept on giving Moses instruction. Say what I say. Tell Pharaoh what I said. And while they were doing that, the Bible says, when Moses put his rod down, or Aaron's rod, and it turned to a serpent, there comes the magicians. Is that all? And theirs turned to snakes too. But Pac-Man Moses' snake chowed on all of them. He turned the waters into blood. And there comes these guys too. They turned water into blood. Is that all? The competition was on. Because what God said, the world was doing. That's all you can do. Then there were frogs. And they too produced their frogs. Huh? And the fourth one was the lice. And when they could not do that, they came in Exodus 8 and verse 19 and said, this got to be the finger of God. This is the finger of God. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was what? This is not making any sense. You should back off now. No, his heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Hearkened not. As I said to you earlier, then it was the flies. But when it came to the flies, in Exodus 8 and verse 21, it says, else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. 22. And I will do what? Sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you're telling about God so loved the world and believing, and now you're switching off and you're talking about Pharaoh, and what is the point? What are you trying to get at? Just come along with me. There was a separation. Say separation. There's a separation. And that separation is based on the decisions we make. Whether we cleave to God and His Word, and Jesus is the Word of God, or we cleave to the lies and the deceptions of the world. It's a decision to be made. This demarcation continued. In Exodus 9 and verse 4. Exodus 9 and verse 4. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. Hallelujah. So there was a separation in their cattle. In verse 26, Exodus 9 and 26, look at this. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Hallelujah. So hail killed whatever was left and destroyed whatever crop was left. But in the land of Goshen, nothing. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm saying to us that God is about to make a separation. So that those that cleave to His Word should not perish. And I'm not just talking about spiritual perishing. I'm talking about not perishing in any area of your life. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. In Exodus 10 and verse 24. Exodus 10 and 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord. I'm jumping ahead. Now, trying to give up. But he says, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. This statement is made after he had made other conclusions. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm saying to you that believing is about our worship. Believing is about our worship. And what does Pharaoh say? Pharaoh says in chapter 8, Exodus 8 and verse 25 through 28. He says, Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. 26, and Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? 27, we will go 3 days, journey, into the wilderness, and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And verse 28, watch this. And Pharaoh said, read it with me. I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. In other words, okay, you want to go worship? Go. But don't go too far. Don't go what? Too far. Don't want you going, don't take this too seriously now. You can be a Christian, that's good, but don't pray too much. Don't fast too much. Don't study the word of God too much. Don't give too much. Just enough. Now, that is not going to cause you to be separated. If you want to be separated, you got to go all the way with God. All the way. Total surrender. And Pharaoh's language is, you can go, but don't go too far. You want to worship? Worship with our system. Worship with our system. Do it the way we do it. And Moses says, no, we can't do it. We can't mix your system with God's system because you guys are going to stone us. We are going to be persecuted. And what are saints doing today? Trying to be like the world. Sacrificing with the world's system. And the world doesn't look at us and think anything of us. They just think that we're the same. I was at a barber shop the other day, and there were some people there just screaming and yelling and talking crazy. And the barber kept on saying to them, listen, there's a pastor here. Like, they were just foul-mouthed. And there's a kid that comes in, and they're still going. I said, guys, can you stop? And they're not stopping. Then it dawned on me. You're trying to solve this problem in a natural way. Bind this thing. So I just bowed my head, and I broke the stronghold of the enemy. All of a sudden, they're quiet. One of them left. Another one came. But now they're not all over the place. I say, this thing works. You bind a strong man so he can spoil his house. You cannot go halfway because the devil will come there and mess with you. You cannot sacrifice the systems of the world in the ways of God. You're a covenant person. Hallelujah. Then in chapter 10, verse 7 through 11, Exodus 10, verse 7. This is the next trick. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the what? Men go. Let the men go. Don't let the women. Don't let the children. Just let the men go. That they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Because everything is getting messed up. Verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Yes. Where are they going to go? Verse 9. And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. Will we go? For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Not just sacrifice. We're going to have a feast unto the Lord. And the next verse, he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Watch, he said, and your little ones. Did he not? Well, look at verse 11. Not so. I changed my mind. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. This is the enemy flip-flopping. He just said, you can take your children with you. And I said, no. I made a mistake. No, only the men can go. No, only the men are not going to go. God said that he was going to involve the women, did he not? And prior to that, months ago, I talked with you about the role that God has for children. We even brought our children here and ministered to them, and the Lord is saying that to do the same thing again. I don't know the date yet, but we will prophesy over our children. Hallelujah. He says, no, only the men. Only the men. Children can't go. Only the men. The devil's a liar. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nothing that God desires shall be left untapped. Hallelujah. Only the man. What does he know? He knows that if only the men go, a whole host of people are going to get lost. You see, in any congregation, look at this. In any congregation, it is very rare that you'll find more men than women in churches. It's always more women than men. So he knew, if I let only the men go, I still have a whole bunch, but we are not leaving anybody. Hallelujah. Everybody is going to worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. God is not willing that any perish, but are all come to repentance. So in verse 17, you know, Pharaoh starts repenting. I think I messed up and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. It was all fake. Chapter 10 and verse 24. First of all, don't go too far. Worship right here with our system. And don't go too far. And now, he says, Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord. Read the next line with me. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. In other words, you can take your children, but leave your sacrifice here. We want to go sacrifice. No, you can go with your children, but leave your money here. Leave your resources here. You cannot go. You cannot go all the way. You cannot go all the way. Leave your stuff here. 25. And Moses said, "Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God." 26. "Our cattle also shall go with us." Did you hear what he just said? He said, "You, Pharaoh, you're going to hand off to us stuff. You're going to give us stuff. We're going to take our stuff. I'm going to take your stuff." Hallelujah. I don't know if you're getting this. "Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof." Not a hoof. "Be left behind. We are taking your stuff, and we're taking our stuff, and all the stuff, your stuff, our stuff, we are going to worship God with it." Now that's called going all the way. "For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither." In other words, we're taking all this stuff, but we don't know what we're going to worship God with. Because it's more than all your stuff and our stuff. But whatever it is he wants, we don't know it yet. But when we get there, he's going to tell us. And guess what it is that God wants? He wants total commitment. "You shall serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your might." Serving God with everything you've got. Don't be incompetent in that regard. Give God everything. Surrender all. Moses was simply saying, "You know what? Yeah, we've got cattle. We're going to take ours. We're going to take yours. Everything that's kosher, we're going to go and we're going to sacrifice it. We're going to sacrifice to the Lord, but we don't know all that he wants. But this one thing I do know, that if we acknowledge God in all of our ways, he will direct our path." I found out that when it comes to sacrifice, God deals with every one of us individually. He may ask something that is general to all, but he will very specifically ask you for what he wants from you. If God is not dealing with you in that dimension yet, then you're still too far behind. You're too far off. God has to be able to deal with you, because he is, while he's a corporate God, he's a very individual God. My God. Every one of us should be able to say, "My God." Not just our God, "My God. In whom I trust." Is God able to speak to you in a very personal way? In Exodus 11 and verse 4, God finally brings the hammer down. tells Moses what he was going to do. There was going to be the shedding of blood to protect the firstborn. And God says, and Moses said, thus said the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. About midnight. And I believe that we are in about that midnight. God is drawing a line of demarcation. Amen? I'm going to move a little bit further down now. Because in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, and verse 14, something comes up. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's a hint. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so. What is the context? Verse 15. John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Just like it was in the wilderness. The context is Numbers 21. Numbers 21. And to go quickly on this, I don't want to keep you too long. Numbers 21. Verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much what? Discouraged because of the way. Just like they were discouraged when Pharaoh resisted them and said, you got to produce, you got to produce, you got to produce, and we're not giving you any help. Now they are discouraged because of the way. The way was hard. And they're discouraged. And verse 15 says, 21:5. It says, and the people spake against God. What did they do? Yeah, they spoke against God and against Moses. They said, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, they are out of Egypt. They are heading to the promised land. And they are saying, why did you get us out of that mess? Into another mess. And they're complaining against God. They're going after Moses. And they said, for there is no bread, neither is there any water. Liars. And our soul looted this light bread. What light bread? The manna that we're getting every day. It says, now notice what they say, for there is no what? No bread. So what they're looking for is bread. But what God gave to them, they said, was what? Light bread. God was feeding them with angels' food. And he said, light bread. What bread did they have in Egypt? Yet they have been provided for. Everything is provided for them. And they're saying, no, we want works. This is light bread. We want works. So what do you want? You don't want my word? Okay. Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Why? They are attacking God. They are attacking Moses. But most of all, they are attacking the provision that God gave to them. This is where serpents start biting. When you do not honor and give thanks for what God has given to you, you're not thankful. You're not appreciative. They're not honoring God with what God has blessed them with. And they're griping because the way is hard. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." Where did we hear that before? From Pharaoh. "Oh, I've sinned." But it's not enough to just say, "I've sinned." It's got to be change. "We've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And verse 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent." That's what John 3, 14 and 15 were talking about. "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is beaten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Raise up a serpent, a brazen serpent. Until this day, when you go to a hospital or something like that, their sign is that brazen serpent. It's a sign of healing. But how did they get to that problem? Frustration, because the world is hard, because they don't appreciate what God has given to them. And God says, "Listen, I'm going to give you my son, my only begotten son. If you believe in him, you live. If you don't, you're going to die. Your decision. Your decision." And what is the decision based on? Whether you're going to accept what God has given. Too many people don't just accept what God has given from above. They want to do it the hard way. I got to work out my own salvation my own way. No, 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 no. That's the pathway to death. The pathway to life is just accept that which God has given from above. God loves you. You say, "Pastor, what are you saying to me?" All I'm saying right now is this. You can spend all the time complaining about what you don't have because you think you should have this or that. Why don't you stop for a moment and look at your life and see how God has been providing for you day in, day out, through every situation that you've experienced, that God has been there with you and for you. Bottom line, there is much to give God thanks for. You have the ability to breathe in and breathe out. Thank God. You say, "Oh, I don't have hair." Thank God you have a head, or you won't be complaining. Thank God for the head you got. Hallelujah. There's always something to thank God for. And when you are thankful, the deceiver, the serpent, will not bite you. But if you are unthankful, you are always going to try to do it your way. And the end of it is death. Always that. You thankful? You can come to church and gripe and complain. Oh, it's not warm enough. Oh, really? Are you in a building? Yes. Why don't you just thank God? I'm in a building and I'm not outside. Just thank God. Thank God we have lights. Because there are places where there's no light. Thank God before you start complaining about the shoes that you've got that has holes. Thank God you've got feet. Because there's somebody out there looking and saying, if only I had feet. There's lots to thank God for. And that's what I want to say to you today by the Spirit of the living God. Be thankful, or you become a very bitter person, complaining. And when you start complaining and griping, know this, you have been beaten already. And death is the result. May I say this to you? Don't hang out. I don't care who they are. You're hanging around somebody and all they're doing is complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about this. Stay away from them. For your own sake. For your own good. Stay away. Because if you don't, the snake that bit them will bite you. And one thing I know is this, that people who are deceived don't know that they are deceived. Everything is right in their own eyes. Do you think these guys are complaining to Moses and complaining against God because they thought they were wrong? Let me tell you, if I'm eating manna every day, 1 year, 2 years, the same thing, over and over, there is the temptation to start complaining. Or else, you might find all kinds of interesting ways to make manna taste different ways. Maybe God gave us this manna so that we can make cake out of it, make pierogies out of it. All kinds of stuff. Toast. Is that the best you could come up with? Toasted manna. Hallelujah. But God gives you opportunities to become creative. Is it not the same rice that we use to make all kinds of, you know, a man took peanuts, and produced close to 1,000 different products from just peanuts. You complain, oh, all we have is peanuts. And the guy sees much more because he lines up with God and God gives him ideas about what he could do with peanuts. What is it that God has given to you that you're complaining about? Griping about? This is not enough. No, what he has given to you is more than enough. What God has given to me is more than enough. It can be what God uses to help me not perish. Hallelujah. Rise with me. Say with me, Lord, I give you my life. I surrender it to you. Make my life count. I refuse to keep on complaining. I refuse to believe the lies of the enemy. I surrender my members to you, and I go all the way with you. I will worship you in spirit and in truth. I give you my life. Take it, O God, and use it for your glory. Be exalted, King of Kings. Help me, Lord, to live life to the full. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.